So how does the tone logic work? Well, what happens is, as your angle of attack increases, there's no tone until you get to an L over D max condition. Once you get to L over D max, the fast tone starts. And if you continue to slow down and increase angle of attack, you're going to get a solid tone when you get to an on-speed condition. However, if you continue to pull harder, you're going to get into the slow tone, and you're going to get progressive stall warning. So the question becomes, how do we integrate energy into this piece? Well, what we do is we take the power required curve of the airplane and we cut it in half with an angle of attack. So the slow tone actually corresponds to the left side of the power required curve. Now, us knuckle dragon fighter pilots call that a negative energy state, and that means exactly what it sounds like. If I continue to pull harder on the stick, the airplane's going to continue to slow down. And because I'm using an angle of attack, the cool thing is this will work at any attitude, any airspeed, any G. It works just as well upside down at the top of a loop as it does in the traffic pattern when you're right side up. And this is what negative energy sounds like. This is a classic overshoot to final, and I'm going right up to the aerodynamic limit of the airplane.
Okay, here comes the overshoot. On speed condition, top and corner coming up.
Memphis,
negative energy state.
It's going to be a 299 heading Vulcan.
Big negative energy state getting into the stall warning.
And,
there we go. AOA correction.
All right, quick direct Memphis.
Pushing the AOA and the power up. Correct it back to an on speed condition.
That's still going to be possible. 59 Charlie, permitted. Let me just give you a vector of a 300 for the next 1,000 miles to keep you clear about the bunch.
Back to on speed.
Okay, so how do we handle side slip? Well, it turns out your brain is remarkably good at processing the information that sound comes from. So all we do is use stereo to move the tone in the sound field left and right, and you step on the tone the same way you step on the ball to coordinate the rudder. A good AOA system's got to work throughout the entire flight envelope, even at high G, because if it doesn't, a rapid pilot input or a gust of wind could actually beat the system. So this is a 6G brake turn into an accelerated stall at corner velocity, and I think you'll see the system keeps up just fine.
G limit.
Got it.
I'm getting old. That hurt. Okay? This is why we test at high G, why we're so hard over about system accuracy and performance and the way the system is damped. This is an inadvertent wind shear encounter, and all I'm trying to do is get to an on-speed condition with the wheels just above the grass in case the bottom falls out, which it actually does. That hurt. Now, I understand how controversial this drill is. We're not going to go into this in this briefing, but the reason I like to show this demonstration, a low altitude turn back from a simulated engine failure, is because three things happen simultaneously when an airplane's on speed. It's an optimum AOA condition for approach and landing, you're at maximum sustained turn rate, and you've got optimum glide performance. So it's a single cue, and it does not matter what my bank angle is. I just do whatever it takes to maintain an on-speed condition. The tone gives me all my pitch control feedback and tells me what my energy state is real time.
1,004.
So this is 300 AGL on initial climb segment.
-60 degrees for the reposition. That was a downwind turn. Worst case scenario.
So in addition to the energy and the AOA cue, some other stuff that we bring to the fight, we have taken the G warning system out of the F-15 and we put it into the box. The box knows if it's rolling or not, so it applies the appropriate reduced G limits. This could be pilot controlled for upset training in any category airplane. We've added airspeed warning. We've got the optional visual energy display that shows you the flight envelope. We record data at 50 hertz for flight test. You could use that in phase one. And we've got a Wi-Fi interface that allows any smartphone, tablet, or computer to talk to the device either in flight or on the ground. So I'm going to do what we call an audible in the Air Force. I was going to talk about why different outcomes under similar circumstances after an engine failure, but what I'm going to do instead is I'm actually going to ask for your help. because I am literally out of airspeed and ideas. The reason I'm able to do all of these things with the airplane to show you what is in the art of the doable is because I've got a system like this on board. But I can't convince anybody that this is good. Nobody's going to listen to Mike Vaccaro. I'm literally arguing for a paradigm shift at this point. We need to go to performance-based AOA queuing in general aviation. You folks can convince these folks that that's a good idea. I can't do that. I'll give you the tools and the training resources you need to do it, but that's the best I can do. Thank you.
Thanks, Mac. So I guess I'll start off. I was never a military pilot, and I think we have a couple of glider folks up here. Those tones are a little strange to me. I'm actually used to glider sort of audible tones, and so they're different pulses and frequencies. I mean, to me, it seems like top and bottom, it's beeping, and so how do I guess I would say I'll defer to your military training. Is that really something that after a short period of time sinks in?
Takes one flight. It's really straightforward. I mean, most of the time you're just looking for the solid tone on speed cue. So the reason that we vary the pulse rate is so you can tell when you're just in a slightly fast or slightly slow condition. And then you're not going to get that massive annoying pulse until you're actually in a stalled condition. So it doesn't take long to internalize it. It's one of those things where, you know, when you drive a car, you ever drive a car for 20, 30 minutes and then just realize, holy crap, 20, 30 minutes just went by? The tone becomes so internalized that you actually only notice it when it's not there. I know it doesn't always convey well in video, but hopefully there's a lot of radio chatter and you can see where it's just in there, and it's not that difficult to use. I mean, one overhead approach or one normal pattern and landing is enough to go, okay, got it. I would think.
I like the idea of the audio, the tone, because, if you look at the arrival at Oshkosh, your eyes are very busy, and the tone would probably be valuable if you're overloaded with other distraction. I'm also familiar with the sailplane audio, which is different. It's not for a warning, it's a positive signal that you're getting for better lift, etc. And it works very well in making a turn that, you know, if the sound goes up or down on one segment of the turn, it can advise you how to readjust that turn, etc. So it's a little different, but very effective. Just the whole idea of the tone, I like. One thing that you didn't mention was the cost of this system, or maybe I missed it, where you get your input signal, how you pick that up.
Yeah, great question. We designed this to bolt into any airplane. Doesn't matter if it's got round dials or it's a space shuttle. But you do need a differential pitot source, so Dynan, Garmin, or one of the Alpha Systems probes. That's all we've tested so far, Dan. Theoretically, the AFS-style wing ports would work, and we're actually working on our own probe to mitigate some beta effects. But you have to add that, and then there's just the quick connects on the back, so you essentially scab it into your existing system. Production airplanes couldn't use the static input, but the experimental airplanes can. That box is $250. And then there's the wiring harness, and that energy display is about $50. The super bright sunlight readable one we got is, that's a couple hundred bucks, but that's just what it costs to be super bright if you want it. I'm not a visual energy display guy. I have one in the RV4 because I need to do all the flight tests. But I succumbed to pressure, and I said, okay, fine, we'll put a visual display in the unit, and that's what we came up with.
I guess the other thing, I completely agree that for anything that's really going to be effective to achieve our objective, we have to have, I guess, what I'd call a full court press. You didn't refer to it that way. Everybody, a wide segment of GA has to accept whatever it is and get behind it, because education of the average pilot is vital to implementing anything.
I think, like Pat, I wasn't military trained, but I've done some flying. Not so much in aerobatic flying, but in the Red Bull Air Race, where we were under a super high G, high AOA environment to try to get the max performance out of the airplane. And when we were really flying very well, the G onset rate was about 75 to 85 degrees a second. So there's, you couldn't look inside the cockpit. It was either A, feel, or B, an oral tone. So what we did, and the G limit was 12, and in our airplane, we basically had no tone up until 10 G, and then a beeping tone, an increasing beeping tone to the 12 G, and then solid over 12. And then we also had the onset rate, but unlike yours, and sort of like what Pat said, is we basically said, if there's no tone, everything's great. Once you start to hear a tone, you're reaching a limit. And again, I'm just a dumb GA pilot, and I haven't had that much military exposure to that type of cueing system. But for me, I think that's the, one of the things, it seems like it's based a lot on the military side of things, and then to allow the GA community to adapt to it, I think simpler might be better, which is what we experienced in our airplane.
Right, and that's a valid point, but I would argue that the reason you want positive feedback. First, the tone only comes on at L over D max, and the average person doesn't spend a lot of time at an AOA above L over D max, except when you're operating in the traffic pattern. We looked at the possibility of a null tone, but then how do you know the system is working? So there's actually an integrated IMU. That's how we handle our pitch rates, and what you described in your airplane is exactly what we had in the F-15 for G warning, okay? We went with just a G limit that you heard in the one audio there, because you can only have so many beeps and squeaks in the same box, okay?
Yeah, I just wonder if people are just gonna get accustomed to hearing the tone, and then under a task overload situation, they become numb to it. And that sort of, with me, it was a response. When I heard the tone, I let off the G to try to keep the airplane under the G. And again, I think it's just a philosophy, and it comes down to a training question, right?
Well, that's a great human factors point, though. Your brain is gonna shed sound before it sheds vision.